Well, good morning. Hope you had a good Easter. You find out how much you're loved at Easter, right? If you were here, I asked you, those of you that already opened up an Easter basket, right? What you got in it, and if you got a hollow bunny, somebody don't love you. And then I told everybody how I hate Peeps. You know, it was delivered to my house on Easter afternoon. Whole basket full of Peeps and a giant stuffed Peep bite this big. Yeah, I'm going to have to start telling people I hate what I love. We're glad you're here as we start a brand new series. And let me just go this way. You can find them almost anywhere. From the giant custom-made saltwater ones that are huge, that you might find in a restaurant or your favorite pub or in a doctor's office. You can go to your friend's house and see these freshwater aquariums all over. And they come in all shapes, all sizes. You might even be the type that has the little glass bowl with just the one goldfish in it that you want at a fair. Life in a fishbowl. You ever felt like that? If you take out your message outlines, I want you to understand just a couple of things of where we're going in this series. First of all, we've got to understand a couple of things. The first thing is life is a fishbowl. Whether you realize it or not, life is a fishbowl. And the fact that life is a fishbowl means that all of us have people pressing their faces up against the glass of our lives watching. It's kind of creepy, isn't it? If you and I realized how often we're on camera everywhere we go, you would even more understand how much life is a fishbowl. So if life is a fishbowl, then that means you and I are fish. That's right. You and I are just like fish, just kind of swimming back and forth everywhere we go. And people are watching. We're just a bunch of fish. Look around at all the colors. Look at the shapes, the different sizes. We're going to talk about that. But people are observing us. We're observing other people. And if you can answer yes to any of these following questions, then this series is going to be for you. If you really want to line up your priorities, if you really want to get first things first in your life, to balance your fishbowl, to live the very best life that the God that created you to design, then this series is for you. If you want to get your relationships right, you know the best thing about life? People. You know the most difficult part of life? People. They're in our fishbowl, both types. You and I are those type of people. To somebody, you're their favorite kind of fish. Somebody else, they just as soon you turn into a floater. Let's just be honest. Just being honest. Maybe you want to influence people. You look at your life and say, wow, by the time I get to the end of my life, I truly want to make an eternal, lasting difference. I want to impact other people, then this series is for you. If you want to grow deeper in your walk, if you want to understand what spiritual food really looks like, how do you make the best of it in your life, then this series is for you. Everything you need to know about life is in your fishbowl. So let's look at what I'm going to call tank it this week, and we're going to do some tank assessment work. First of all, if you're going to do some true assessment of your tank, you've got to clean your tank. You got to clean your tank. What do I mean by that? Well, you've got to listen, you got to wash down the walls. You got to get in there and scrape off the algae. We got like algae of anger, right? Some of us have that in our lives. It's holding us back from living our best life. It really is. Some of us have this jealousy, right? We need to vacuum some of this stuff out of our lives because it's prevalent all around us. If you don't do that, and if you don't clean your tank, if you don't assess your tank, if you don't get some of these problem things cleaned up, listen, it will affect the quality of your life, and it also affects the quality of the people's lives around you. And if you don't get your tank cleaned, there's a negative side effect. You ever walked into someone's house or maybe your own house? If you have an aquarium or into a place that had an aquarium and you're just like, ugh, that thing needs cleaning. And you're like, I don't even see how those fish are surviving in there. And then probably if you looked really close or if you observed, they probably got some floaters because they're struggling in there. We're going to talk about that. Because you know what you do with floaters, right? You flush them. Maybe you're swimming around and you've got some of these murky waters of materialism. You ever realize how much stuff is brought into an average house in a week? You probably noticed that after Easter. You don't even realize it. Maybe you do have that algae of anger. Maybe you've got pride stuck to the tank of your aquarium. You've got all these environmental things that you and I get caught up in and day out, and you think you're kind of happy, but if the truth were known, you're really, really struggling. And you think everybody struggles, and that's just the way it is. It's taking a toll. We're going to talk about that in this series. There's a guy in the Old Testament named David. David was a guy at one time of his life was called a man after God's own heart. There was another season of David's life where he was in a pretty rough spot in his aquarium. You see, David had some problems going on in his tank. David made some choices that caused some problems in the tank. You see, one day David was out and he should have been at war with his guys, but he wasn't. David was kind of laying around his own palatial palace, kind of taking it easy. And he goes up high in his palace one day, and he looks out, and across at the neighbor's house is a woman bathing. Seem odd to you? Wasn't that odd in that day? People often bathed on their rooftop. Well, David had a bird's eye view of this woman bathing on a rooftop. Well, it didn't just stop there. David had some lust going on in his heart, and long story short, he connects with this woman who was married to one of the soldiers David had sent out to the front line. Well, she conceives. David has to concoct a plan. He sends to bring the man home for kind of like an extended weekend. So that way, when she has a baby, it's going to be thought of her husband's. Well, if that wasn't enough, David also then puts this guy back on the front line, and the guy loses his life. David does all this worked out, right? He committed adultery with another woman's, or with another husband's wife, right? And he thought he could cover it all up. He had this scheme that he thought worked until one day a friend of his, Nathan, shows up, and Nathan kind of calls him out. Nathan realized that David had some stuff going on in his tank that wasn't supposed to be there. And so he confronts David. And believe it or not, he kind of got through. And David prayed this kind of interesting, we'll call it an aqua type prayer in Psalm 51. He starts out, David says, "Have mercy on me, O God." Have mercy on me. To say to God, we don't deserve what you offer us. God, I'm sorry for the way I've been living. I'm sorry for the crud that I've allowed to happen in my tank. God, have mercy on me. When's the last time you cried out, taking a real good look at who you are and saying, God, have mercy on me? I want you to notice that God does the cleaning. God does the cleaning. I can't clean up my own tank. I don't have the ability to forgive my own sins. I don't have the ability to get right with God. I need God to do the cleaning. You and I say things, we try to clean up our own lives. We say things like, you know what, I'm going to start on Monday. I'm going to just turn over a new leaf. I'm going to go and order a self-help book on Amazon. That's what I need. I'm going to get my life in order. I'm going to clean up my own tank. And God's saying, you can't do it. You know, they have companies that specialize in cleaning tanks, big aquarium tanks. Like, you can bring in absolute professionals. They call them aquarists. But, ooh, there's a job for somebody. But these people know everything about freshwater tanks. They know how to clean them properly. They know how to clean saltwater tanks. They know how to get in there and get the algae and the crud that's accumulated in the tank. They know how to clean it up. Our God is that expert in our life. We can't do it. And so some of us just kind of get caught up swimming in circles. Swimming in the same circles, hoping that something changes differently. We got to pray like David prayed and say, God, have mercy on me. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. They're pure in their own eyes. That was David. Thought he had it covered up. But they're filthy and unwashed. I can guarantee you when David concocted his plan that he thought everything's fine. Yeah, I've committed adultery. Yeah, now her husband is dead. I've done that. I'm not necessarily proud of what I did, but man, I got it covered up. I think everything will be fine. You know the problem? You ever heard somebody say, I just got to get out of this place? I mean, we just got to move. These neighbors, my coworkers, my family, I got to get out of here. We need a new start. You know the problem with moving? Wherever you go, you are. Seriously, wherever you go, you're still there. You see, we have this idea that it's in our environment, it's in our tank, and part of that's true, but part of it's in us. David knew the real story. David knew what he had done. David knew the good, the bad, and the ugly of himself. Now, that doesn't mean you can't change, because David becomes a man after God's own heart, but he got stuck swimming in circles in the murky water of his own stuff, and he thought he was okay, but he wasn't okay. And he couldn't change it all himself. So the first thing we need to do is clean our tank. The second thing you need to do is check your filter. Some of you need to install a filter. That's a different subject. But seriously, we'll talk about that. But some of us, we need to check our filter. The cleaning of our tank, there's a confession part to this, right? There's an owning up to our part of this murky tank. There's a part to say, okay, God, have mercy on me, but I confess. Like, I've been doing things. I've been seeing things. I've been going places. I've been wrapped up in some things that have been my attempt to do it my way, but my way's not working. Some of you need to install a filtering system. The most important part of that tank, you can clean it all day long, but if you don't have the proper filtering system, it's going to quickly return to a very unhealthy environment. When I was a kid, we had a fish tank, an aquarium in our house. And it was really my sister. She's the one that started this thing, right? She went to the fair and threw those little ping pong balls into those little fish bowls, and she got one. So you brought it home. Well, those things don't survive very long in there. There's no filtering system. There's no way to pump oxygen into them. And so she saved up her money, and she bought like a 10-gallon aquarium. Well, then you come, it comes with a filter and a filtering system and the little charcoal and the little, you know, all the things, the cotton and all the things that help filter it out, right? And it does the bubbles. And then she added some other fish, and she even let me buy a fish and put one in there. And I had one of those black, I forget what they call those. It was a black one with big bulgly eyes. But I had one, and then she had several. And one day, you know, it got a little murky, and she'd have to clean it out. And I remember vacuuming the rocks out, because you know what? Fish do what they do in those aquariums. And if the filter system isn't working correctly, then it takes a toxic effect and has a toxic effect on all the fish. Now, I remember walking in one day, and she had several floaters. You could hardly see through. It was like those fish are going, we need oxygen, baby, like help us. I told my sister, hey, you got a problem, a filtering problem. She took it all apart, right, and catches all the fish, puts them in something else to clean her tank out, right? Because that filtering system purifies the water. It takes out the contaminants. It aerates the water. Her first fish survived for a while. My fish was still surviving. Mine was swimming on its side a little bit for a while. But he came back. I've never confessed this to my sister or anybody, but I was only like 8. But I saw when my fish was swimming sideways, her fish, which was gold, was nipping at my fish, picking on him while he was down. I didn't like her fish as much as I liked my fish. So I did what an 8-year-old boy should do. Opened up the top, stuck my little hand in there, and thunked it. I got it good. He went right to the bottom and then kind of came back up. It didn't kill him. But he quit picking on my fish. Just so you know, my fish fully recovered. How focused are you on your filter of your life? For real. This is a health thing. I wonder, when's the last time you really looked at how you filter day in and day out what's going on in your life, what's going on in my life? We kind of just feel like we're in our environment. Whatever happens, happens. But the filtering system is so important. And if you want to know a filtering system passage, you've got to look right there at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. It says this. I know I'm ahead of you. Hold on. You're like, what about the blanks? I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Don't make me thunk you. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds. There's that mental health again. And meditating on things that are true. True. That are noble. That are reputable. That are authentic. That are compelling. That are gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. We could probably stop right there, right? Think about what you feed your mind on, what you read every day, the social websites that you go to, that you call it entertainment, that don't match this filtering verse. We're putting negativity in. We're listening to gossip. We're divisive stuff all the time. And then we wonder, why are we struggling? Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. In other words, we need to think on things that are good. That are pure, that are true, that are noble, that there's good stuff in them. That's what we need to put in our minds, because what we put in our minds affects us, and it affects everyone around us. And we're living life in a fishbowl. You ever really take a look at yourself and say, why am I so angry? Why am I so negative? What is it about gossip or hearing about somebody else's junk? Why do I do it? We don't do anything without a payoff. You and I don't do anything without a payoff. So what's the payoff? That'd be a great thing to explore this week. What are you dwelling on? We've got to install a filtering system. Now, for those of you who want these blanks, with the verse and that passage in line and in mind, we need to check our filter for our eyes. What is it that you're looking at? What is it that you're seeing? What is it that you're choosing to see with your eyes? What movies do you watch? What social media sites do you go to? What are you doing with your eyes? Do you realize we're bombarded thousands of times every single day with sexual images? Can we just say what is a known fact for most people? Men are much visually more stimulated than women are. And so this eye thing is a big, big deal of what we're looking at because it affects our tanks. It's not just harmless entertainment. It causes problems. But we don't just need a filter for our eyes. We need one for your mouth. Don't point at anybody in here. Pick down the guys a little bit with your eyes. Let me pick on the girls a little bit. You know, ladies, on an average day, women speak 14,000 more words in a day than men do. That's a proven fact. Don't shoot the messenger. You can look it up. On average, can we just say some of you are above average? But on average, women speak 14,000 more words a day than a man does. What kind of words do you speak? How do you talk to coworkers? How do you talk about coworkers? How do you talk to family? How do you talk about family? What are you doing with your words? What filter are you running your words through for your mouth? What if you and I took the Philippians chapter 4 passage and every conversation we had, we filtered it through that? Is it good? Is it pure? Is it noble? Is it building people up or is it tearing people down? Why would I tear people down with my words? I don't want to be torn down. And what does that say about me? We also need filters for our feet. You say, what in the world? Where are you allowing your feet to take you? What places do you go? What do you do when you get there? Where are you taking your kids? Where are you not taking your kids? What if we applied this Philippians passage to our feet? How might that change what we do? Do you realize your kids are watching? My kids are watching. Your kids are listening. My kids are listening. Do you know your kids hear you on the phone? They hear what comes out of your mouth. Your kids know places that you've been, that things that they've seen because of what you've seen. We're living in a fishbowl. Sometimes we think we have our kids so fooled, and the older you get, you find out not. If you didn't know, last Sunday at Easter, I shared with you that my wife's dad was actively dying. They said it could be any hour. He actually died Easter night. And so that meant we had a road trip, and it was kind of crazy how it all went down. My wife had been in Nebraska for a month. My son rode with me, and so we had a 10.5-hour drive, which turned into be 13.5 hours. Because there was an accident about 20 seconds in front of us, we didn't know what it was at the time, but it literally locked the highway down for 3 hours. A double-wide UPS or double-trailered UPS truck malfunction brakes in the back trailer and it started to skid and went sideways, and there was a man and a woman in an SUV behind him that tried to swerve and brake, and it couldn't swerve quite enough, and it caught the front of passenger side of their SUV, got all tangled up in that trailer, and the woman in that side died. What was a setback for us of 3 hours changed somebody else's life. But then my daughter, who was her and her whole family were driving out on Tuesday as well, on their way, Brandon, my wife's husband, had a tummy ache. Bad tummy ache. Needless to say, he didn't get to go. He can give you those details if he chooses. I might have got myself in trouble for telling you that. If so, have mercy on me. But then on the way home, it was me, my wife, my son, and my daughter. It was like a flashback to the past. So we had 10 and a half hours in the car, just the four of us. It would probably never happen like that again without their kids, without their spouses. And it was so cool, but it was so eye-opening. The stuff they hear, the stuff they saw growing up as a kid that you never thought they were aware of. Told my wife when we got home, I told you they would see you do this stuff. She's only been home 2 days and I'm getting myself in trouble already. Anyway, we've got to put these filters on our eyes, on our mouth, on our feet, and on our ears, because people hear and God hears. And I wonder what he thinks about all of our words day in and day out if they were all recorded, and they are. Every phone conversation. Every time you pull someone off to the side in the office and talk about somebody else. The power of our words. What if we applied this filtering system to our words? And then the last thing I want to talk to you about and yes, I skipped 2 Corinthians 10. I want to balance your habitat. We've got to clean our tank. We've got to check your filter. If you haven't installed the filter, listen, if you've never given your life to Christ, the best thing we have going for us is, yes, we get what we don't deserve. We talked about that at Easter. The gift of eternal life that I can't earn or deserve. But the other thing that happens when a person turns from their sin, that's repentance, and turns to Christ and invites him in. He puts his spirit inside of us, which becomes a filtering system. We have what the rest of the world doesn't have if we'll just only use it, if we'll compare it to God's word, if we'll pray and say, God, show me anything that's not honorable in my life that I'm looking at, that my feet are taking me, that I'm listening to, that I'm saying about somebody, that's coming out of my mouth, that's... We've got that advantage, but then we also need to balance our habitat. What's a habitat? A habitat's wherever you live. It's wherever you work. For a fish, it's whatever tank they're in, whether it's a small little fish bowl or if it's in some massive, huge aquarium, whether it's at one at the zoo, no matter what it is, your habitat is that place where you're living, that place where you're recreating. It's at the golf course. It's at the office. It's with the girls. It's with the guys. It's when you're alone. It's when you're with people, your habitat. Because life is a fishbowl. You know what, some of us have an overcrowded tank. So if you're taking notes, fill this one in. Don't overcrowd your tank. Some of us, you can't even move. Listen, I'm not going to talk about your house. But my guess is I've seen hoarders, right? I'm not saying we have hoarders here. I have no idea. But I know that we can overcrowd our habitats. We can have so much going on that we can hardly swim anywhere without banging into things. We live in a very materialistic world. We always want more and more and more, but an overcrowded tank is not a good thing. So some of us need to ruthlessly remove stuff from your habitat. I like to think of it as the Wayne Newton principle. I like Wayne. He's all right. I remember him as a kid. I remember him being a kid and singing. He had a great voice, right? But if you watch Wayne through the years, and I'm not bagging on him, I'm just observing. He's an incredible performer, very gifted. But as he grew older, he tended to really continue to add to his appearance and how he dressed. Those huge collars, bright colors, all kinds of gold and chains and rings and all of that stuff, right? He accessorized a lot. You ever drive by those houses at Christmas time? It's like people want to make their yards look really good, but some people just don't know when to stop. It's like, oh, that looked good. And then they keep adding more, and pretty soon you're like, whoa. If that's yours, I'm sure yours looks great. But you know what I'm saying? It's like we can kind of get such a bug that we just keep adding and adding and adding and adding what used to look good, and you could swim around and you could navigate your habitat really well, but pretty soon it's like, what in the world happened? You know, there's a recovery group for people that buy too many aquariums. No joke. You can go up and look it up online. There's people that got so into aquariums that they had one literally in every room. I saw pictures of people, they even had them in the closet because they had nowhere else to put them. And they had big ones and weird-shaped ones and all kinds of stuff, but they weren't very healthy because they just had too much. They couldn't even care for it. Some of us have lives like that. Fill this in if you're taking notes. We got to get our priorities in order. We really do, because if you really think about what matters in life, you know, one of the things I was reminded of just a few days ago at my wife's dad's funeral, at what really matters, and I've learned it over and over and over. It's people. Now, people argue over stuff, don't get me wrong. I've seen that. People argue over stuff. One of the reasons people are so agitated and will argue over stuff because what really matters is now dead. It's amazing the tensions. It's amazing what comes out of people through grief. Amazing. I've never seen a person on their deathbed say, man, I just wish I'd have bought a few more of those vinyl albums. Wish I'd have added to my crystal collection. Nobody does that. We've got to get our priorities in order, and deep down we know what they are. Matthew 6:33 is a great passage to help us in that. It says, but seek first what? His kingdom. Put God first and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added as well. To get your things in priority order, you've got to put God first, your relationship with Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus, that's your number one. Trust me. Just trust me, not even as a pastor, let me tell you as a friend, that one day I will guarantee you you'll remember the opportunity you have today to put Christ as Lord of your life. And if you don't, let me tell you, I don't care what happens the rest of your life, you've missed the most important in one day. It'll be a sad, sad day if you die that way, because nothing else matters. You got a God that loves you, that will forgive you, that will give you what you don't deserve, eternity in a perfect place. And those of us that have received that already, can I just tell you, we just need to go through this tank assessment and say, am I living that way day to day? Am I living like someone in the know? Am I living with somebody like someone that has the right filtering system? And am I going through those checks and balances every day with my eyes and my mouth, my words, my feet? my ears. Because God wants to use you and I in our fishbowls for people to peek through and observe us and say there's something different. There's something different. You and I are to be salt and light, the Bible says. So God needs to be number one, your relationship with Christ. The second thing, and we could kind of split this out as an A and a B. I say family, but I mean if you're married, can we just be honest about this? In God's priority order, He's first, my spouse is second, then my family as a unit, and then my career. If you get those things out of whack, it's out of whack. It's not in God's priority list. It's just not. You don't have to tell your kids, hey, you're number three. But in actuality, in God's list of priorities, they are. And we can laugh at that and we can kind of scratch our head about that. But can I tell you, I've seen so many homes where the kids tend to be the top priority. That's out of balance. It's not God's way. I've seen people put their kids as their number one priority, even in a marriage as a number one priority. And then all of a sudden the kids get old enough, finally, they're 25, they're 30, whatever, you pick it at your house. And they leave home. And all of a sudden, mom and dad have no idea who each other is because it's been kid-centered the whole time. Some of you need a whole new habitat. Some of you in this room, you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, and let me just tell you, you're swimming in murky waters even if you don't recognize it. You're swimming amongst toxins that you might not even be aware of. The worst thing that you could do is go through this whole life and you get one chance to live in this aquarium called life. And without Jesus, if you die that way, your eternity is changed in a way that breaks God's heart and will break your heart. Many husbands and wives, many men, many women are living in the wrong habitat. Many singles. You're living in the wrong habitat. To coin a phrase from an old song, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. I get it. You have this desire, but it matters. It matters. It matters what environment we put our kids in because they're watching. I want to applaud those of you that realize how important the church habitat is for your kids of all ages to bring them to a place where they can get consistent age-appropriate teaching for the building blocks of a faith-filled life. That's huge. It's monumental. There's a lot of parents, listen, that get caught up in all the peripheral stuff and think that their kids are going to be the next superstars. And they'll pull them out of a habitat that's good and put them into one that's a pipe dream and not realizing the trade-off is not even close to valuable. Life in a fishbowl. Clean our tank. Check our filtering system. Balance our habitat. Now let me tell you where we're going the next 2 weeks before we close. The next few weeks. But next week, we're going to deal with fish faces. We're going to start to examine some of the fish swimming in the aquariums with us. Some that are very attractive, but toxic. Some that stick to the glass. Some, like my sister's fish, that pick at you when you're down. I'm going to show you how to deal with those fish. We're going to learn about one another because it matters. Life in a fishbowl matters. Our filtering system matters. It affects everyone around us, everyone in our family, and it affects us. And God cares, and He's got a plan, and His ways above our ways. Would you bow your heads with me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, God, I just pray today that you have your way in every heart and every life. God, I pray that as we've kind of taken a fun approach at real life stuff that God, that the truth is so evident, so apparent. That God, we are living in a fishbowl. We're swimming around the environment that we're in. We accessorize some of our own environments with ways that seem to be right, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. But yet you've given us a manual for life. You've given us filtering passages that lets us know what we should focus on, what our priorities should be. And God forbid, sometimes, God, just like David, we can get caught up because we're human. We try to clean up, but God, we can only do so much. Ultimately, what we need is you. Ultimately, what we need is your word, your power, your strength, your spirit in us. We go around once in this life. We don't know how long it's going to last, but then we're gone. And we go, according to your word, one of two places, either with you forever, because we received a gift that we couldn't earn or deserve through your son, Jesus. Or we're separated, which has never been your plan, but you'll give us what we choose. And if we choose to reject you, you give us what we choose for all eternity. God, I just am stubborn enough to believe no one would choose that if they knew the truth. So I pray that you'd speak that truth to every heart and every life here, every heart that's tuned in, wherever they're tuned in from. For those of us that are believers, God, I pray that we kind of have a David moment right now and say, God, I want to come clean. Have mercy on me. God, help me to focus on what's true and noble and right with my words, with my ears, with my eyes, with my feet, where I go, what I say, how I talk to people, how I talk about people, how I talk to my wife, how I talk to the husband, how do I talk to my kids, how do I talk to my neighbors, my coworkers. And God, may we turn from those things and turn to you. Focus on you. Spend our time, put in our minds and our eyes on those things. Because we are living life in a fishbowl. You want us to be salt and light. You want to draw other people to yourself as they look at us. And for those of you that realize you need a filtering system, you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, the one who gave his life for you, today's your day. It'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make. It'll be your greatest regret if you don't. Don't let other Christians, so-called Christians, turn you away from a God who is amazing, who's all-loving, all-knowing. If you'll provide the sinner that you are, God will provide the Savior. His name is Jesus. All you have to do is, in your own heart, to his ears, say, God, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I've done many things wrong. I'm sorry for those things. They've separated me from you. Heaven requires perfection, and I'm not perfect. So by faith, I turn from life my way, and I turn to you. Jesus, I ask you to come in and be Savior and Lord of my life. Place your spirit within me. Give me that gift that I can't earn or deserve, the gift of eternal life. And from this day forward, God, I'm yours. I've been adopted. Use me. Help me to learn to love you like you love me. Help me to realize that you loved me so much that you died so I could live. We all say thanks. We give you the praise in the name that's above all names. And everyone said, amen.